Wrestling Soup is intended for a mature audience. みだらな言葉が出てくるわ。
19 years ago, I wrestled my last match in a WWE ring. After three rock bottoms, one, two, three, I lost the match. For 19 years, I've had to live with that defeat, knowing my time was up. Kevin Owens, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for waking something up deep inside me that I've kept buried for 19 years.Ever since you started running that damn mealy mouth of yours talking about the state of Texas, the great state of Texas, you got my attention. And why would you want to do that, Kevin? I can think of two reasons. One, you are one dumb son of a bitch. And two, you are fixing to get your ass kicked by Stone Cold Steve Austin.Whether you want to call this a KO show, a match, a fight, a brawl, whatever, I will guarantee you this. In Dallas, Texas, where I started my career at WrestleMania, Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to open up one last can of whoop-ass on you, Kevin Owens. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Wrestling Soup. I'm Anthony Michiri Thomas. He is Kevin Castle.
What's up, man? What is up?
Wow.
Oh, man. Every piece of trash better be put on notice. He's coming back to take out the trash.
What a
Canadian piece of trash.
What a fucking honor. What an absolute fucking honor it is. I mean, I know. Look, I'm really into the moment. I totally get it. I just watched it for the first time. Obviously, it's been circulating around. Kev, you pointed me out to it. But the first thing I thought of is, wow, what an honor, because he has been gone for so long. And the person he comes back for is Kevin Owens. Dude,
yeah.
he's got to be fucking thrilled. Like, I know we could be talking about the storyline and shit. But as a person, I mean, think about it. Like, the biggest star in your profession, one of the most legendary names in your profession, has come out of his retirement to answer the call to start shit with you. Like, wow, man, that's pretty fucking cool. I am stoked to see this, because obviously, you know, if you've been watching Raw and shit like that, you know that Kevin Owens has been talking his trash, and we kind of all saw the writing on the wall, but I don't know. The fact that he cut a little promo like this, and it was very, as you said earlier, old school Steve. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even with the manner, anybody who can't see, the fun in this, the excitement, the possibilities in this is just nitpicking. I mean, again, 4 weeks to go, because you see the same thing. It's a tale of two cities. You haven't been online on Twitter, but I have today. And it's a tale of two cities, as usual, in the IWC. This is great. I feel like a kid. I got chills. Some of our fellow podcasters even saying, like, Solomon stuff. And you got other people who are like, this is ridiculous. 4 weeks to go. This is how much respect they show Steve. I'm just like, guys, what the? Oh, my God.
Dude, didn't they just have Sting fall off a balcony at 76 years old?
Yeah. I mean, Sting's going to be 63. I mean, he makes Austin look like a kid. And again, well, Sting has been active. So what? That's not the point. Austin is one of a kind. He's the biggest star of all time. You can say arguably Hogan. No, I think Austin is a bigger star. Moved a lot more merchandise. Yeah. Austin is the bigger star. And Austin has stayed out of it, and he hasn't made any haphazard attempts to come back, or, you know, dipping his little toe in, or fooling us, or doing little trickster shit online over the years. He stayed out. This is important. It's significant because it's so special. Oh, it's done out of desperation. It's done because Austin is a Texan and he started out in Dallas. Does anybody know goddamn wrestling history anymore?
No.
He started out. He lives in California. Once a Texan, always a Texan. Did he lose the accent? He's a Texas boy, born and bred. He's proud of his time in Texas. And he started out in World Class, which became USWA. It's important to him. They're not manipulating him into being. And again, people are acting like Steve is telling them on the side, yeah, they're putting a lot of pressure on me to be there. He wants to be there. He cut a great promo. This is exciting. I agree with any podcast who doesn't have the head up their ass and is saying, this is a fun moment. Let's enjoy this fun moment. Oh, he shouldn't come back full time. We don't know what he's going to do. I personally think
full time. Jesus Christ.
He's not come back. But Mish, what I think it's going to be is I believe that KO thinks it's going to be a show and Austin goes in there and beats his ass around the arena. That's what I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a big schmoz, a big fight. I don't think it's going to be a match, but I think it's not going to be some interview where he just gives him one stunner. I think Kevin Owens is about to let Austin beat the living shit out of him. That's what I think.
That would be nice. Honestly, that would really be nice because, I mean, myself and DT talked a little bit about it on Breakfast Soup yesterday, and we kind of came to the same conclusion that the whole reason this is happening is multiple fold. I mean, it's cool that WrestleMania again is in Texas. That makes perfect sense, you know, to have Austin there. But Austin's going to be there because one of his fucking compadres is getting the biggest honor that he can get in the company.
Oh, of course, Taker. Yeah, Taker.
Absolutely. Right? Even if there was nothing to do with Kevin Owens there, Austin would be there. I mean, you'd have to be a fucking simp not to believe that Steve Austin wouldn't be there for Undertaker's Hall of Fame moment. You know?
Yeah.
So when you paint it like that, he was going to be there no matter what. And why not have a big fucking WrestleMania moment and get the fucking state to pop for you, let alone the whole fucking world to pop for you to have that fucking moment? Dude, it's important all the way around. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Shawn Michaels out there at some point too. Another Texas boy, right?
Yeah, well, last night, you know, you saw the promo. He went down the list of the people. And it's funny, wrestling does play off the rumors of the internet and stuff because he went, who's it going to be, JBL? And he's like, you know, he dismissed that.
Right.
Booker T dismissed that. Shawn Michaels dismissed that. So he went down the list of, outside of Austin, who the other rumor people would be. Coley dismissed it. And then you knew the Austin thing was coming when he said, 19 years, this guy hasn't been doing anything. And we opened up today with the promo, which I thought was great. And it was cut and dry. It wasn't elongated and drawn out. 1 minute, 52 seconds, driving the car, getting out and being Steve Austin. That's what everyone should be totally happy with that promo.
Absolutely. That was pretty cool, man. And it was a good setting. And obviously he had some WWE cameras there to make sure to film the whole thing. Cause it was a good sight too. It was good B roll, but overall, I mean, what I was expecting after seeing Raw last night, cause I was not expecting Steve to respond. I was expecting, you know, kind of what Steve Austin has done in the past. He's probably going to come out there. Kevin Owens is going to talk shit. Stone Cold's going to have the entire crowd behind him. He's going to talk shit back. They're going to smash a beer. And then fucking Stone Cold's going to stunner him and fucking drop him and then pick him up and stunner him again and then drink beer over his fucking twitching body. Like, that's what I expected. But you know, now that he's throwing it out there that you want to call it an interview, you want to call it a match, you want to call it a brawl, you want to call it a fight, whatever. It's like, no, now you're opening it up to completely different avenues, Steve. Like, there is a very clear-cut difference than sitting down on the Kevin Owens show versus getting into a ring and having a slugfest for 20 minutes, you know? I'm really kind of geeked up after seeing this. This is cool. And let's be honest, he was fired the fuck up. So people that are really unhappy with this, it's kind of confusing. It's like, isn't this what you want in wrestling? Isn't this exactly what you want? You want two people that are fired up to get into the middle of the ring and just start beating the shit out of each other? And let's not fucking cut Kevin Owens any slack here. Kevin Owens can shit talk with the best of them. It's one of his most positive attributes. The fact that he's a solid wrestler and everything else aside, not taking anything away from it. Kevin Owens is a shit talker. He's a shit talker. So I expect the amount of shit talk to be through the roof when Stone Cold and Kevin Owens meet up.
Well, it's funny because people are like, you know, I hope now they give him time where each week they go at it on an interview. No, I think Austin just gave you what he's going to give you. See you at WrestleMania.
Right.
Don't you think so? He doesn't need, Austin's not going to come on every week and do the Titantron thing and come there. Hey, Kevin, I'm here right here.
Oh, like the Rock?
Rocks thing today. Yeah. No, I don't think, no, but let it build up where Austin said what he said. And the mark, you know, Mitch, the mark of a real badass is you only give one warning right. And then they're coming. That's the way Austin's character is. He does not have to come on Raw next week. I totally disagree with anybody saying that. Don't make any appearances. That is your statement. See you in 4 weeks at WrestleMania.
Right.
And that's what builds the excitement. If anything, don't show him anymore. Just that's it. Go to that footage and don't show.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have to play this on Raw, though. You realize.
Yeah, they're going to play it on Raw. But I'm saying, don't come up, pop on with the Titantron, Kevin, I'm watching you. You know, none of that stuff.
Right.
He gave his statement. Next time we see him is when that glass breaks. And even as Jason said and other people, the place is going to go nuts. And that's what they need to do. They need to play this right. They are protecting his legacy. They're not willy-nilly throwing him out there or whatever. And Kevin Owens, you're right, Mish. The biggest thing, if anybody misses this, you are ridiculous. It's an honor for him to be able to do this. A guy who also uses Stone Cold's finisher. No one dared to use that finisher in the last 19 years. Owens is the only one.
Right.
There's been variations of it, like the cutter and dropping someone on their neck. But the Owens was straight up doing an homage to him. So this totally makes sense. And again, Owens, I couldn't even believe some people were saying, oh, this is going to bury Kevin Owens. Bury him. This is going to build him. Did AJ Styles lose a step when he lost to The Undertaker 2 years ago at that match? He gave AJ Styles national attention. It's an honor for these guys. Owens is probably beside himself with glee being involved in this angle and re-signing. He's probably saying, best thing I ever did was re-sign. I'm going to be with Steve Austin at WrestleMania.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a moment.
Yeah, you weren't getting that with Tony Khan. I mean...
No, you weren't getting that. You weren't getting that. Luchasaurus at best.
Yeah.
You're listening to Wrestling Soup.
Dude, that is really cool. And like I said, I opened it up. Kevin Owens, this is what a fucking honor. What an absolute honor. What a cool fucking moment. Like, I know as far as watching the wrestling, it's like we're supposed to be excited for the moment, and I am. But I'm really excited for Kevin Owens because Kevin Owens is one of those guys that I think is very debated. You know, quietly sometimes and very loud and argumentative at other points. But for the most part, I think Kevin Owens mixes his fan base. There's a lot of people that Kevin Owens doesn't appeal to. They look at him and just go, why is he in WWE? He sucks. He's, look, big fat guy. And it's like, dude, if you're not watching his matches, then you don't understand. If you don't see what he does in the ring, you don't understand. He's such a master at connecting with the crowd, like on an emotional level, on a psychological level, just enhancing the matches. Like you go back at the ladder match between him and Roman Reigns, especially the very first one, and how amazing that was and how it really cornerstoned Roman Reigns in a lot of ways, because Kevin Owens was smart enough and willing enough to make Roman Reigns look like that big of a star. And look, this isn't a bash Roman Reigns fest, but let's be honest, the only reason that Roman Reigns finally found his stride is because the people that he worked with knew exactly what to do and how to do it in order to make him look like a billion fucking dollars. Okay? That's the nature of how wrestling works. Yeah, you're the biggest star in the world, but you didn't do it by yourself. And guys like Kevin Owens are people that you trust, people that are seasoned enough and experienced enough and fucking wise enough to know what they're doing in the ring. And that's why this is such a big moment, because it's almost like, hey, Kevin Owens, you've been sacrificing yourself since the days that you and Braun and Jericho were running around as a team. You've been sacrificing yourself since you came in and you flexed John Cena like a little bitch. You've been sacrificing yourself for this company for a long time. Here's your fucking reward. The biggest fucking stage of them all. And at this moment, probably one of the highlights of the weekend. Easily.
Absolutely. I mean, again, I'm excited about it. I have no expectations other than an entertaining segment. And getting to see that crowd. I'm excited for the crowd reaction in Texas. I was telling Drew Yari, I was like, Drew, you better make the drive down there and go, because you know he's a Texan, he lives on the other side, but he'd make it down there. And I told Drew, go down there, but like be a man on the street for us. Got to get a report of how, and I'm sure we'll know multiple people going, but really how you know the real vibe in that stadium.
Yeah,
from someone who is non-biased and you know can really give us the full scoop. I almost feel like say he's got to be a correspondent down there. Even Chicky was telling me, who doesn't watch modern wrestling, oh, this I would go if there was more notice on this, I'd want to go. Like you know, we should go. So I mean, that's the excitement on it. Where even old school fans see this is what they're going to capture, Mitch. The ticket sales had ceased a little bit.
Yeah,
now they'll increase. Let's even monitor the situation. I'm sure Don Tony will. Anthony was always good about that. Let's see now. The announcement was made. Austin accepted today. He will be there. Let's see the ticket sale increase.
I think the ticket sales will increase the closer you get towards the end anyways. It's always kind of been the way. I mean, it's been a long time since WrestleMania sells out in the first day. You know what I mean?
That's
been
true.
A very long time since you have those kind of ticket sales. But for the most part, WrestleMania has always been the same. It's like people wait until the last couple of weeks, and that's where we're at. We've got, what, 4 weeks left before
Mania?
4 weeks
to go, yeah. But don't you think with Austin now, remember, it was rumors before, and people were like, oh, I'm not sure. I don't want to spend the money if he's not going to be there. He's going to be there. He just accepted. Don't you think you'll see an increase in the next couple of days?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. I think that this will be exciting.
Especially from Texans. Yeah, old school Texans going
Well, in Texas, too. Here's the other thing as well. I mean, now you're at the point where I'm sure there's radio stations down there giving away tickets and stuff like that. This is where you get to the point where it starts to become publicized. This is where other companies that are sponsoring WWE and sponsoring WrestleMania come out with their commemorative cups. And they come out with their commemorative t-shirts and posters and I was there at WrestleMania moment. Like, this is when everything else starts to catch fire, usually within the last 4 weeks, because that's how it's done. You don't look, everybody knows the Super Bowl is going to happen, but you're not celebrating it in week six. You know,
you're not. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. But I definitely expect to see an increase in ticket sales, especially home state, hometown. You got Taker going in. Now Austin's going to be there. It's the perfect storm. I mean, this is looking. I don't think it's looking like a weak WrestleMania at all. Actually, I think it's looking kind of exciting. And even going to guys like Sami Zayn, getting the, you know, probably with Johnny Knoxville, these are compliments to these guys. I think, you know, it's not a detriment to their career. Because if you say, oh, there's guys in the back, someone was saying, who are sitting in catering waiting to wrestle. But here's the problem. They don't have as much high publicity as a Johnny Knoxville or whatever. Who's Sami Zayn going to wrestle? Fucking Apollo Crews? I mean, come on.
Right.
Johnny Knoxville, Entertainment Tonight and stuff. This is what wrestlers want, because then they are also planning for their future. Sami Zayn's like, I'm getting mainstream publicity. So if I ever leave this company, people are going to know who I am.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be like some guy, oh, you wrestle in WWE? I don't recall you. I'm the guy who wrestled Johnny Knoxville. Oh, yeah. Come on, Mitch. You know damn well. I'm the guy who feuded with Rick Boogs. Who's that?
Right.
I don't even know who that is. Who is that?
No, but you're totally right.
Knoxville. Yeah, celebrity interaction has been a big deal. Ever since even WrestleMania 1 and even 2, that battle royal with the football
players. Well, didn't
players,
fucking bro. Damian Priest and Bad Bunny kind of prove that to people?
Just a year ago, they proved that. That was when Damian Priest was at his hottest and his best, really, and actually really thought. And Bad Bunny put on a great performance.
I remember when Damian Priest was going into that match, even last year, and a lot of us going into it, we had high hopes, but we were unsure. Nobody knew, because we didn't know how Bad Bunny was going to perform. Obviously, that's the biggest first one. But the second one was, is Damian Priest going to be the guy that's going to be able to carry somebody like Bad Bunny to a match that doesn't make him look like a complete fool? Because obviously, we've both seen bad celebrities in the ring. We've seen celebrity matches in the ring, from the silliness of Big Show and Aki Bono to fucking Snooki, et cetera, et cetera. Not everybody gets to be Pete Rose and Kane and get the crowd to pop every fucking time.
Well, but even in WCW, I never thought Dennis Rodman.
Rodman.
Carmelo wasn't bad. But Dennis Rodman and Kevin Green, come on. I mean, they weren't good.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, though. So when we saw Bad Bunny and Damian Priest, if anything, that should have kind of revitalized a little bit of the celebrity status. The fact that you do have celebs out there that are legit about fucking wrestling, that want to wrestle. And the fact that he did with Damian Priest, it was one of the biggest fucking moments of the night. I remember.
And it was fantastic. And Bad Bunny was fantastic. I watched that match 3 times. When I went back and watched it, I watched that particular match along with the Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair match.
Right.
But Bad Bunny put on a great performance. That's why when he was in the Royal Rumble, people were not shitting on it.
Right.
You know, they thought he should have did more, but his WrestleMania performance was fantastic. And if you take, again, why are we, celebrities are just like us growing up. Of course they could be wrestling
fans. Of course, but no, they're celebrities, Kev. So clearly they just know nothing.
What do they know about wrestling?
Not everybody can be David Arquette, guys. I mean, Jesus Christ.
That's another one. Yeah, exactly. You know, it plays into, I mean, and again, it's also in the entertainment field. People don't see the correlation.
You were talking about wrestling history right when we were opening up the show. Like, do these people not remember wrestling history? I thought it was fucking funny. Going back to AEW Revolution, the owner of Wrestling Inc., probably one of the bigger news sites online, literally had a tweet. And I think it's gone now. But he said during Punk's intro, wow, it sounds like a remix of the Terminator song.
Oh, geez.
How fucking embarrassing is that? Yeah. That you run a site and you don't even recognize one of the more popular themes in wrestling, let alone ROH.
Yeah, that's weird.
You're listening to Wrestling Soup.
I believe I want a big bowl of wrestling soup.
What were your thoughts on AEW Revolution there, Kev?
I didn't see a lot of, I saw clips as usual. I watched clips and highlights. I didn't see full matches. So it'd be, you know, dishonorable of me to pretend that I did. But yeah, I mean, I'll go, you know, quote my brother John a little bit. People being totally disingenuous and not saying, I mean, from the clips I saw, this was the best pay-per-view of AEW of all time. I would hope not. I mean, based on what? I really didn't see. I'll say this. Chris Jericho looked pretty good. Definitely dropped about 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Jericho's looking better and better. And that's why I think he's coming back to WWE to impress Vince McMahon with that new physique.
Well, there's some stuff on that, too. Just to throw this in there as a sidewinder, he posted a picture earlier today about how happy he is, or about how happy we are in AEW. And it's a picture of him, Regal, CM Punk, everybody sitting on chairs.
I saw Matt Hardy too, right?
With these like stoic faces. And it's like, you know, and there's been rumors that Jericho is probably the next big guy to fucking jump ship when time comes. And it's like, you see little posts like this that are clearly a jab at the company. You know what I mean? And I'm sure he's going to play it off like, no, I was just being silly. And he is. I believe Jericho when he says stuff like that. But, you know, the reality is you're also making it a very clear point, you know.
Finishing up on the AEW, I didn't see much. I just saw clips, but I know the match that I wanted to see looked kind of crappy, and everyone kind of rated it one of the worst matches was Thunder Rosa's match.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, they're going to save her to win in Texas. And all right, if they're saving for that, but I don't even know why they bothered to have this match then. Why didn't they just do a big build-up for the Texas match? But, yeah, I guess, you know, I saw the blood and the this and then that, and the, you know, and everyone going crazy. Like, and it was, like, this was like Great American Bash, like 1986. And I don't get it. I mean, you know, again, granted, I didn't see full matches before anybody tells me. I fully admit that. But from the clips and the highlights I saw, I don't see how it was one of the greatest pay-per-views ever. And yeah, enough people said that. Not one or two, but a bunch of people declared it. This WrestleMania is going to have a hard time topping this. I'm like, really? I don't see anything. And what really of significance really happened? I mean, William Regal came out okay, but really? And I like Regal, but is he Austin? Not even close.
No, I mean, and we're not even really sure what his role is going to be.
Yeah, yet. What is his role? I don't even know his role. Is he allowed to be called William Regal, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh, he is? Okay, because he was Stephen.
They called
Regal.
Him Regal.
Is his real first name Stephen, though, isn't it?
Might
be, right? I'm not sure.
I have his book, and I don't even know.
Yeah, what is his real name? That's interesting.
Let's see. Hold on a second. Maybe take a look. Yes. Darren Kenneth Matthews.
Oh, God, way off. Okay. Darren. Wow. I didn't even know. I did know that. I just was thinking that William Regal was a name given to him by WWE when he came in as the real man.
Right.
Man's man, you know, William Regal. So I thought maybe you couldn't use William, but I guess maybe they didn't even bother to copyright it.
Well, I mean, if they called him DKM for short, right?
Oh, good.
I mean, Regal was obviously a part of it. That was kind of cool. I thought the setup for it was a little odd, but, you know, this is one of those things that it's clearly the start of a story that's going to play out. So we didn't really poo-poo on that. We kind of enjoyed that. The CM Punk match was phenomenal, him with MJF. I know Joe wasn't really a fan of how it finished. He thought that MJF should have been the one to win. And considering how the feud had been built up, that would have made
exactly,
sense.
Exactly, yeah. That's another thing that I didn't understand. MJF, is he the future of this company? Or they just like to, you know, bring him back down to earth, build him up, bring him back down to earth. I'm not sure what they're doing with him.
Right.
You know, they pulled the trigger, obviously, on Adam Page. When are they going to pull the trigger on MJF?
Yeah, and even Adam Page's main event match, Adams, the Tale of Two Adams, was woof. It was a little rough. It was a little rough.
Yeah, I'm not big on him as champion. I think he's kind of bland and boring. I don't think he's working out as champion the way Big E wasn't working out as champion in WWE. It's not there. Not from what I see.
And the ladder match, that was the one that really stuck with me the hardest. That was the match that I poo-pooed on the hardest.
Right.
Was because here you have this ladder match full of weird spots, weird bumps, no fucking direction. And in the middle of it, you have Keith Lee, who's pretty much a wallflower throughout this entire process. Like, it's his first big event. Yeah. It's his first big match that he's involved with. And it's not a shot on Wardlow, because Wardlow won. That was perfectly fine. But Keith Lee felt more like an afterthought when just a few weeks ago, he was the biggest signing ever. And it's so weird how, you know, there's this Stockholm syndrome amongst the fan base that they just allow these things to happen and think, oh, that's fine. You know, he's going to get another shot at it. It's like you literally just brought him in at the behest of all the fans that were upset that WWE let this guy go. And now you have him. Now you have him in a big fucking match. And not only that, a big spot match too, where you think a big guy would be fucking picking up guys like Orange Cassidy by the toe and throwing them outside the fucking ring. Like, I was expecting fireworks when Keith Lee got out there, and instead we got duds. That entire match was a dud. It didn't make sense from the ground up. I fucking hated it. I genuinely hated it. Yeah. Oh, Mish, but they do the same thing in WWE. Isn't AEW supposed to be better than WWE in every way? Isn't AEW supposed to be the answer to all the mistakes WWE does? So this fucking whataboutism, this, oh, well, what about WWE, doesn't fly. It doesn't click. It doesn't connect. Because the whole point of you guys being AEW fans, these diehards, these ride or die fans, is the fact that you hated WWE so much that you needed a whole new company to represent your voiceless voices. And you got that, and they're still doing the same exact shit that you crapped on WWE for, but because it's under an AEW banner, it's crap, dude.
No, it's true. Again, the hypocrisy is still rampant. I don't think it's ever going to stop in the IWC. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And again, I understand being a homer, support your home team, favorite team, or whatever. Even though people claim we all like, everyone who does that, by the way, claims they like all wrestling. You know,
That's why they didn't know what the hell Mizera Cantera was. Fucking exactly. CM Punk's theme. Yeah. Everybody's sitting on their hands like, oh, this is some cool new music. Idiots.
Yeah, they don't. Again, the lack of wrestling knowledge and history. It's like pissing up a rope even trying to debate this with people. Even if you try and have it in a nice way without the cursing and the name calling and the insulting, you can't even have that. Every now and then you get a decent debate. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Oh, hey, learn something new. You get a guy on social media who will admit wrongdoing and back up a little bit. But everyone doubles down usually on that kind of shit.
Right.
And then but then for some reason takes it out on WWE. No, why? What about WWE when they did? What about when WWE killed Owen Hart? I'm like, what does that have to do with
Jesus.
Anything? Yeah. No, but that's how ridiculous they get. At least they didn't kill Owen Hart. I'm like, what does that have to do with those theme songs?
Well, it looked like they tried with Sting.
Yeah, I mean, again, 57-year-old Austin come back. Sting is 62.
Yeah, what did you think about that fucking spot? Because there was a lot of of twisted opinions on this. There were, I saw so many people, oh, he's still got it. Sting is still the best in the world. And I'm like, dude, why do you want to see this old dude going through tables and shit? Why do you want to see that? This
I'm
is like
Sting would even agree to do something like that after that buckle bomb almost paralyzed him. That was a buckle bomb.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. In the ring by a guy who is like half his size. Come on.
Seth Rollins, yeah. And that was, at this point, that was, what, 7 years ago?
I mean, what's and next? We're going to have William Regal and Sting fighting on a scaffold 20 feet up in the air? You know? Jesus.
Sting situation, and again, you have your one side that, wow, 62, God bless. And then the other side is like, this is ridiculous. And it's funny, Sting doesn't need to do this. He's really enjoying it. Again, I think it's, you know, depends on who you ask, but you can't have this thing where one guy shouldn't come back because he's too old. Well, people are concerned for Austin's health, but you're not concerned for Sting's?
Nope.
Like, I don't get that. Sting was the one on a national pay-per-view, international, shown on TV that he couldn't even get his legs about him. We thought he was going to be like a Darren Drozdov situation almost. Yeah. I mean, that happened, you know? I mean, come on. I mean, you know, the Austin getting dropped on his head in 97. Yeah, we all saw all these clips of guys getting hurt in the ring. We can all go watch it on YouTube. We get it. A lot of these guys have these conditions where the wrong thing, and boom. Edge, Daniel Bryan got approved. How did that? Corey Graves got reapproved. How did that happen? Right. All of a sudden, they're fine. So, again, if we're going to be – we're concerned for everybody's health, right, Mish? I mean,
sure.
It's not one or the other because he's an AEW guy or he's a WWE guy. But I don't think Sting, they should be doing any risky things with anybody of 62 years of age. I don't think at 52 you should be doing that personally.
Why was Sting doing that, not Darby Allin? Darby Allin's the guy that should be getting thrown around. And you know what I mean? Like, and we've seen it before with Darby. Darby has no problem taking a spot, taking a bump. He has no problem with it. He's done it many, many, many times before. But to see Sting do it... I don't know.
Uncomfortable. Again, I don't get where he's still got it, but they're risking Austin's life going to ring up. Just to readily admit that if it's an AEW, I'm fine with WWE, whatever way you side on. But as podcasters, of course, we have to walk the line between the two, even though we have our preferences and show favoritism.
Yeah, but you know what? Dude, I have a lot of preferences. None of them involve wanting to see people get hurt. Like
no, absolutely not. Yeah, exactly. You know? And it's right. It's not cool because the name of a Fed is different than another one across
right,
Florida.
Right.
You know, right. It's not. And Tony doesn't have better safety precautions for wrestlers than Vince does. That's a ridiculous. Someone said that. I'm like, what? AEW takes much more care of their wrestlers. Okay. Now, please let your fans know that that's your opinion, not a fact.
Right.
That's not a. That's a dangerous. Sway of opinion to fact.
Right.
I can't imagine you or Anthony or anybody saying something like that. No. I'd be like, what? Who told you that? I have my sources. I'm like, come on, man.
Sources. Is your sources Wrestling Inc. on Twitter? Because then I believe it. So
I like to see Sting go on and shoot it to me. Well, the reason I did that at AEW is because I don't know if anybody knows this, but in WWE they don't care about us at all. You know, and they just if I broke my neck, they would just discard me in a trash compactor in the back and leave me there.
They throw me out with leftover catering. You know, it's just.
They actually put a sign on me for trash pickup.
My expiration date, buddy.
Right, because people see the indicative of that WWE when they put Eric Bischoff in the garbage. That's exactly what they do to wrestlers. I'm like, guys, you are going way too far.
Kind of like those
taking care of.
Kind of like the CM Punk fans jumped into the garbage bin for the fucking ice cream bar wrappers.
It's nuts, man. It's but yeah, the AEW Sting. Maybe Sting wants to do it because he wants to help the company. But how's that helping the company? What does that really do other than make us cringe and go? Oof,
right. Like, I understand from the base when you say something like that, he wanted to make a big moment so that people would have that to talk about. Fine. That's fair. He might not be the guy to be doing spots like that. Have him do something else that's revolutionary. Have him do something else. Like, I don't know, come out with a crow. I don't even know. Like, Sting is at a point in his career that he shouldn't be the guy at this point in his career that's doing unnecessary things to get fans to watch. Sting's presence alone should be enough for people to want to tune in that are fans of his, that to make people tune in to watch him.
Agreed. Absolutely agree.
You know, I mean, are we expecting, let me throw this question out there to the naysayers. Mm-hmm. Are you expecting Steve Austin to jump off the fucking balcony? Is WWE going to bring back the SmackDown fist so Stone Cold can jump off of it? You know, it's just why it's not going to happen. If you think that's going to happen in WWE, you're insane. If anything, it's going to be a rough and tumble brawling match between two guys that a lot of people are going to fucking pop for. That's what that's going to be. It was what it was. I didn't really give it a good grade. I gave it a D. You know, I just didn't see the flair for it. The women's matches were pretty awful. And there were so many botches over the night that I'm really surprised that there were not more injuries. I mean, from shit like even Jericho landing on his neck and Eddie Kingston landing on the top of his fucking head. And the amount of blood that CM Punk was fucking gigging out all over the place. And what else happened? Jade Cargill was dropped like two or three times on her fucking head and neck. It's like, there was a lot of weird shit that happened over the night. What didn't Guevara get hurt too or some shit like with his elbow? So Sammy Guevara.
Again, you know, AEW has its base that is going to put anything over. Anything they do is great. And honestly, you know, it's funny. I never even felt that way about WWE. Even during the Attitude Era, I remember I was on a podcaster then. I remember me and my brother debating on certain things that kind of sucked. And not everything was perfect. I mean, we kind of look back at this utopia of wrestling, even in the Golden Era. I mean, I remember certain guys were on. I'd go get freshman stand or something like that. So it wasn't ever, everything was not, there's always been things to criticize and things to shit on and stuff. We just didn't have a platform to do it back then.
Yeah.
Certainly a podcast.
Motherfuckers.
I know it was just announced, guys, I don't think maybe you heard the rumor last night, it's official today. Sid is going into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Did you know that? Yeah, it's just released. Sid Vicious, Sid Udi, Psycho Sid going into the Hall of Fame. That's fucking great.
I obviously you got to talk about in the follow up of that too. Vader obviously announced the other day.
Yes.
Going into Vader the Hall of Fame. I saw naysayers on that shit too. Like they WWE waits until people die until they. And I'm like, oh my god, that's just an awful, awful way to look at things. You know, I'm like, that's not the case at all. You know, there were other people that went in. Unfortunately, post mortem, it happens. You know, China being one of those big examples that probably should have went in a little bit earlier than she did. But then there were other examples, too, where WWE clearly brought people Ultimate Warrior. Ultimate Warrior, sad of a story as that is, he had his Hall of Fame moment. He was there for Raw. And then, as we all know, he passed away the next day.
That'll always be, you know, in wrestling, just such a crazy thing. But just so I can tell you this, as we're recording this, about, you know, 6 p.m.-ish here in New York, on Tuesday, it's not 100% official, but Andrew Zaharian of Mad Men Pro Wrestling Podcast is usually right, by the way. Andrew's right like 9 out of 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
He's reporting that it's going to be officially announced that Sid will be inducted in the Hall of Fame. So probably maybe tomorrow it'll break. By the time this airs or you put this up, it'll be a mainstream story. But this is breaking news as we're awesome. On the air. Just letting you know that now. Yeah. So.
Any ideas? Do you think for the Legacy Wing?
The Legacy Wing. Good question. You know, I was thinking Nancy, a woman, getting the Legacy Wing, Nancy Benoit,
right,
for the Legacy Wing. I'm trying to think of anybody else, you know, because I have to actually take another look at the Legacy Wing. Some of those people are in there that I put in already, but I'm wondering who else is going to be in the mainstream thing. I mean, so far it's officially Undertaker and Vader, and then soon to be officially Vader, Sid Vicious. Added to that thing,
yeah.
And I think it's interesting too because even with Taker, they feuded a little bit there. I think it's good to induct some of these larger than life personalities, you know.
Absolutely,
because I think Sid's never really had his moment, and he's been, you know, Sid's a controversial figure, but and poor Vader, you know, he always wanted to go in the Hall of Fame, and now they're doing it post death.
Yeah,
it wasn't his son. His son was in developmental for a while, and he was dating JoJo before Bray Wyatt stole her away, from what
was
I
was he? I didn't know he was dating JoJo.
He was dating JoJo. He was the boyfriend before Bray Wyatt came along. He was dating JoJo. Yeah, mm-hmm. Vader's son. That's a fact. I'm wondering who else. You know, people even saying you think they can make up with Demolition and put Demolition. I think they can make up with them. Sure, that concussion thing, that's been thrown out. Forget it. I mean, because I'm thinking of any other tag teams. Yeah, but Demolition would be another one I would love to see. Any of the women that still aren't in yet, I'm thinking Victoria. I think Victoria would be a good one too.
Absolutely. On another status, let me ask you this, you know, going from the Hall of Fame, but obviously still talking around WrestleMania. There's been the conflicting reports, Kev, about the status of Cody Rhodes. He has yet to appear on TV ever since he left AEW. Ringside News, Ryan Dildo Satin, initially said that his sources within WWE said that Cody was still a part of Mania 38, and it lines up in internal documents. But another website, bodyslam.net, later reporting that discussions between Rhodes and WWE have fizzled out. Tuna Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer also threw in there that there is a quote-unquote definite change in the status of Cody to WWE, whatever the fuck that means. Where do you stand with all this? Because, like, everybody is all over the place to the point where I don't even know if Cody Rhodes is going to show up in WWE anymore.
I don't know. Last night I floated the idea because Seth Rollins has no opponent now and Owens is locked up. And Rollins is a man without a country right now. You cannot leave with Seth Rollins off of WrestleMania. That Rollins comes out, does an open challenge, and Cody answers the challenge, and it's Cody Rhodes versus Rollins versus Rhodes. I just have this feeling. I know I was on the tag team tip, and I have to take a step back from that. Let me pivot to this way now and say, Rollins has no opponent, a major star. They're going to bring somebody in a major way and selling it to Cody Rhodes to come in. How about a match with Rollins? And Cody would realize the magnitude of that, and that's a major match. I think it would be great. Great matchup when those two guys together. I don't know if they ever actually got to meet when Cody was here.
Yeah.
I think Rollins was just upcoming at that point. But I think Cody Rhodes is coming here. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't believe that. I think Cody Rhodes will be at WrestleMania. And if he doesn't wrestle Rollins, it'll be an interview where he comes out during a segment or something. Cody Rhodes will be at WrestleMania. I'm going to stand by that. What he's going to do, I don't know. But Rollins having no opponent, Mish, now you got to. I was going down the line, even locker room, catering room guys, and I can't figure out any. The only thing they could do with a Seth Rollins to make Seth satisfied as a top guy and $1 million contract guy is Cody Rhodes.
It makes sense in the sense of putting those two together for WrestleMania. I think that a lot of the card, though, that's shaping up is a little odd, and some of it.
It is odd.
Some of it makes sense, and some of it really doesn't. Like some of the matchups don't. You know, I was definitely a little bit surprised even going, I guess, with The Miz and Logan Paul. I was really expecting that the Cody, would be taking his shots against The Miz. That was the direction I thought that everybody seemed pretty ecstatic about online. I mean, you had the relationship between the two reality shows for what it was. You know, you had the relationship, obviously, with their significant others. And obviously, Brandy hasn't been talked about coming into WWE. And even the initial reports were saying that this is just a Cody deal, not a Brandy one. So it's wild to me that they wouldn't have gone with what everybody was expecting, especially for a big moment like WrestleMania. But, you know, Seth and Cody, that'll be a fine match. It'll be a fine match for what it is.
I agree. Yeah, I think... the card is odd. I mean, it's not a great card. It's not a lot of celebrity interaction. I mean, we got Knoxville. The IC and in the US title stuff, it's doesn't mean anything anymore. I mean,
right.
God bless Ricochet. I saw him taking pictures and looking so happy on an exclusive WWE after the show kind of thing, and he was taking pictures with the belt, and you know, so happy. He's like, this is what I signed here for. I've been waiting so long. And I that's why the belt does mean something to these guys, even though maybe it doesn't mean anything to us, or U.S. title in the Continental doesn't mean anything anymore.
Right.
It used to mean such a big thing at WrestleMania. You always waited for the announcement of these secondary belts of who the opponents would be, and they would steal the show. And not just Macho Man versus Rick Steamboat or three. I mean, other, you know, going on, you know, down the line with Mr. Perfect and Bret Hart, and then later on for other guys. I mean, WrestleMania to me, I expect it to be two or three really good, solid matches and everything else to be a lot of entertainment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let me ask you this too. And this was just to piggyback from the Cody thing. Bill Apter recently came out, I believe it was today, and said that he wants Cody Rhodes to lead ROH against AEW. What are your thoughts for that? Like the idea of Cody Rhodes being the authority figure of ROH and then Tony Khan running AEW.
I don't know. I don't even know if that can happen. That sounds like fantasy booking to me.
Oh, you know it's Bill Apter. So you might very well be right. Yeah.
Bill still actually kayfabes everybody. I love Bill Apter, but he's still that guy. I don't see that because it's owned by Tony Khan, and Tony Khan and Cody Rhodes parted ways. Right. They're not going to go back and meet in a roundabout way. And now all of a sudden they found money for Cody Rhodes after he buys Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense. That's ass backwards. Why not do it the other way where he re-signed Cody Rhodes and then Cody Rhodes runs Ring of Honor?
Sure.
You know, exactly. The people are flipping that, and that flip don't make sense, Mish.
No, it doesn't. But I love Bill and any chance I get to.
I love Bill. Yeah, I love Bill.
He's great. He's fucking fantastic. But yeah, no, you're right about the WrestleMania card. I agree with you. It doesn't seem like it's too celeb heavy, but there's definitely going to be a lot of filler moments in the show so far. A lot of the matches themselves aren't really standing up for me. There's some pushback to me where I'm like, this is going to be two nights. So that's the first thing you got to get ready for. This is going to be a longer show, you know, and I know that there's going to be a lot of dry points in it. There's definitely going to be some highlights, but there's definitely going to be some major dry points.
Wrestling Soup will be right back.
Hi, this is the Friday Night Delight, John Morrison, and you're listening to Wrestling Soup.
Did you get a chance to see the Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, MSG coverage?
Yes, I did. I mean, did get a chance. And I had a couple of friends who went there. Actually, Trez was there.
Oh, no shit. Oh, very cool.
Trez was there. We'll talk about it this week on for people who are on the Patreon for Chronicles. We'll talk about it in the Chronicles this week. But I didn't get a full report. I'll save it for that show with Trez. I just know that she went. And I'll find out like how the vibe was and if there was 10 people in the audience. So I will find out the actual fact.
No, it looked like they showed a little bit of the clips on Monday. No, it looked like it was a packed fucking house.
Yeah, and Trez doesn't lie anyway, and she's not swayed one way or the other to be biased. Right. So she'll give the full scoop to you guys on Patreon. But from what I saw, the clips that I saw, I didn't expect everyone that these people, the ridiculous narrative on Austin Theory was the surprise opponent. What a letdown. WWE lying to their fans again. What did they lie about? And why would they bring out any kind of major factor on a house show when everything needs to be safe for WrestleMania? Of course you don't do that. And not for nothing, 5 years from now, you feel pretty silly about that because I think Austin Theory is the next John Cena, in my opinion. I think he's going to be that big a star.
Wow.
I mean, this kid has got it. Him, Bron Breakker. Some of these guys have got it, and those two guys have got it. And I don't care what is going on right now. I know what's going to happen down the road.
Sure.
Austin Theory owed Brock a receipt for the way he got manhandled in Saudi Arabia. So it made sense to bring out Austin Theory. Of course, then he's going to get destroyed again. But if you recall, John Cena, when he was up and coming as that heel Thuganomics, got destroyed by Undertaker many a time.
Yeah.
And didn't hurt him, did it, Mish?
No,
you know, not at all. Exactly. So he can job to Lesnar again. It's okay. Lesnar's always going to beat the shit out of you. Even if he doesn't pin you, he's going to get the best of you.
Right.
But that doesn't – that's – again, does anybody watch wrestling for – you know what it is? I mean, I don't get this. Everyone wants this instant gratification of no. Austin Theory is supposed to pin Brock and then have a title flip, because he's Vince's guy. Nah, I knew what to expect. I didn't expect anybody major to come out to face Brock that night. Austin Theory, when I even heard, and I think even Trez posted about it, I'm like, yeah, it sounds about right. They could do the whole thing where he beat him up in Saudi, and I get it. I get it. What a disappointment. What a WWE again letting their fans down. I'm like, I don't know. It seemed that the fans kind of enjoyed. Look, they had Reigns was there. Ronda Rousey was there. Brock Lesnar was there. What more do you want in a house show?
They want everything. They want everything, and they'll never be happy for it. That's exactly what it is. They want Hulk Hogan to come back. They want Steve Austin. They want The Rock. They want Mankind. Just
What? No rock at yeah. No rock at the Garden? You know, like, why would he be there?
No, 1995 Shawn Michaels. What?
Yeah, no, Undertaker didn't perform that night. I was like, guys, are you paying attention? Undertaker's not really retired. Stop it. My God.
It is a little bit.
Undertaker is really retired. He will not wrestle anymore. Stop, please.
Well, they keep going. That, you know, the funny thing with that is they keep going back to the Last Ride documentary that he had. Yeah, that was what it was called, right?
Yeah, Last Ride. Mm-hmm.
And where obviously he said never say never. Whenever Vince calls, I pick up the phone. And it's like, yeah, but to a point, guys. Like, he's not going to be like in the hospital, a hospitalized Undertaker going, I'll do another match, Vince. You know, like, come on. I think people don't understand how to separate reality sometimes with the character. And in, I'm not even trying to say that, you know, Mark Calloway was being a character in his biopic. But at that point, he was absolutely talking from a guy who's been loyal to this company for everything. This company has provided him with everything. And I think the big thing, and we can go from here to the last point of news that I wanted to talk about, because this was even brought up by Vince McMahon on the Pat McAfee show, which was a big deal when he said, you know, I'm going to be the one to induct Undertaker into the Hall of Fame, which I honestly, at this point, we were thinking, you know, it was going to be Glenn Jacobs, it was going to be Kane to come in there and induct Undertaker, which would have been perfectly fine to me. I loved the idea of Kane being the guy, because not only is it Undertaker going into the Hall of Fame, it's essentially putting to rest that entire storyline. That's putting to rest the Kane storyline. It's putting to rest Paul Bearer's storyline. You know, it's ending the Ministry of Darkness era. It's ending all of that when Undertaker goes into the Hall of Fame. So you're not just putting an individual talent into the Hall of Fame. You're essentially ending years and years of developed storylines, because it won't happen from here on out. And I know that the fucking naysayers have already said, well, did you see Edge come out and the purple lights on? I fuck out of here. Edge is not Undertaker. I'm sorry. And it didn't make sense. His promo, it was just a bunch of emo wordsmith shit. I fucking hated it. Look,
you don't like the promo?
Oh, awful. You think you know me, but you don't really know me, do you? It's like, shut the fuck up. It was awful. But as far as Undertaker going in and Vince being the guy that's going to induct Undertaker, that is heavy. And I was so glad that he talked about that on the Pat McAfee interview. Once again, and another thing, you know, and obviously, as it was pointed out, he did the interview with Stone Cold, but it's been 15 years outside of WWE. That's what he meant. Right. You know, people like, well, he was just interviewed by Stone Cold. I'm like, Stone Cold's a company guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Pat McAfee works for WWE. Pat McAfee is not seen as a company guy. Yes, he works for the company, but I think that WWE looks at him still more of as a celeb commentator than an actual WWE born from the ground up guy.
I agree with you. Pat McAfee, though, is a WWE defender. If you know, he has taken shots at AEW when they took shots at WWE online.
Absolutely.
I mean, company guy as far as in theory or in reality are probably two different things. But of course, Austin. But of course, where your bread is buttered, that's why Booker T is defensive of WWE. He's not technically, might be under a Legends contract. But and it also depends on some of these guys, you know, how the wind blows with them, Mish. You know, I'm sure William Regal was a huge WWE fan and supporter up until the day he got released. And now,
he's still protecting Triple H.
Also, you got to remember, they saved his life. I mean, he was an alcoholic to the point of his liver.
Pill popper,
I mean,
too.
I mean, Triple H did an intervention with him, saved his life, got him that office job. He should be forever grateful. I don't think he's going to be a curmudgeon like some of the other guys have been over the years, like Bubba Dog and Khan and stuff. Yeah, like guys like that. So I think William Regal, if they even asked him, you know, go on there and shit on WWE, I'd say I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, no, he's
not. No, I don't think he would do that.
He's more along the lines of a person like Bryan Danielson, where he wrote that love letter to WWE.
Right. They're not going to get him or Bryan Danielson to stray, and they're not dumb. They know that they're going back for Hall of Fame inductions, both of them.
Right.
You know, and Jericho, too. Jericho, I think, is going to taper off on any WWE talk, because he may be saying he's happy there. But, you know, Cody was saying he was happy there a couple of months ago during interviews.
Right.
So, you know, you never know which way the wind's going to blow. It's funny, Mish, how things take fire, you know, you take a look on what's going on online, see if there's any breaking news so we can throw it on the show. And yeah, now the talk of Seth versus Cody makes total sense, and other podcasters are talking about it. I'm not saying other people had the idea too. I just floated it out last night. It just, you know, just thinking about it just makes sense. And they're like, even though Cody's not signed yet, no one said anything about it, this is a real possibility. Some notable sheet writers are saying. And it just makes sense. And I don't think it's anything like, oh, yeah, we said it first. I just think it's being a smart wrestling fan who kind of pays attention to what's going on around them. And it's not even like what you would book. It's what makes sense.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, speaking of making sense and of obviously going in about the Vince and Pat McAfee.
Oh, yeah.
I keep calling it McAfee. I know it's McAfee. Sorry. With the Pat interview, Vince McMahon told Pat that he would have a match at WrestleMania, which was a big deal. And obviously we saw the Austin Theory kind of fold out. But I was really thinking, because of the Corey Graves comments that he made earlier, like earlier in the month, where he was talking about, you know, I'm really excited to see this guy come back. I'm on board with the rumor mills, and I'm really hoping. And everybody was saying Cody Rhodes. Everybody was saying Bray Wyatt, maybe. And I was like, why not? Why not Corey Graves? Corey Graves is cleared. Maybe he's excited to see himself come back. And I really thought about it, and I've even brought it up, you know, once again on Monday. And I was like, you know, it would make more sense if it was Pat versus Corey, Raw versus SmackDown, you know, color commentator versus color commentator in a state like that. Like, you could have built something up, had a small little match. I don't think anybody's expecting a returning Corey and Pat to have a fucking 45-minute barn burner of a match. You know, dude, you want to talk about making sense? That would have made a lot more sense. And I think it would have been a lot more beneficial to Pat and Corey than it really would be to Austin Theory.
Agreed.
And that's not a knock on Austin Theory. It's just, if you're building this guy up to be the next level kid, this is supposed to be your groundwork for the future. Why is he beating up a color commentator? You know what I mean? Like, come on. Like, they couldn't have figured out something better than that. I like
the matchup, though. I think those two could put on a great match. I think Pat McAfee wants to make an impression. I think Austin Theory needs to make an impression.
Sure, but there's no heat there, Kev. If Pat wins, what does Pat win? He wins some bragging rights over Austin Theory, and obviously Austin Theory kind of looks like a fool for losing to a guy like Pat. And if Austin Theory wins, what does he win? He beat up a fucking color commentator.
Well, you can't look at it that way, because Pat McAfee had two outstanding matches at NXT with Adam Cole, and took Adam Cole to the hilt. And he was in that Hell in a Cell.
Yeah,
you know,
it only takes you so far. Look, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking what Pat's done. I'm just saying that level doesn't take you to the next level of being able to fight a guy like Austin Theory, who's being groomed for the future.
It shows that Vince was kind of, it goes to the Mr. McMahon character, where they thought they had a nice interview and stuff, and then Mr. McMahon makes him fight his protege. Was like, that's why Pat was taken aback and doing the acting like, we're wrestling in WrestleMania. Mr. McMahon picked you for me. Like, okay. Like, and then he slapped it there. And I think they'll have the next couple of weeks where Austin goes out and they'll have a big brawl.
Yeah, no, I get it. I do. But see, the whole reason that Pat was in NXT anyway was because of the Adam Cole stuff, which started with him, you know, fucking trashing the set and getting up in his staff's faces and telling him to go fuck himself and everything else like that. Like, that was a heated moment, which was fun, and it was totally planned, but it was a lot of fun to watch. And that was a reason you would have seen Pat get in the ring with Adam Cole. And that made sense. I just don't feel this has anywhere near the weight, and maybe something will develop. And I hope you're 1,000% right, Kev, because something needs to develop to get me hooked on this line. Cause right now I'm just kind of like, I don't see why this one's happening, you know. Yeah. But anyways, dude, fun show. Hopefully Absolutely. We got through a bunch of topics. I know that there's even more stuff that we didn't cover, because there's always more stuff right around WrestleMania. It's an exciting time, not just for the matches that are going to be going forward, but also in the news, you know, also in the dirt sheets, also in everything else where people have a lot of things that they're talking about. Real quick note, hope Eric Engel gets better. If you didn't know, he's suffering kidney problems, and he's looking to undergo kidney surgery. And you can definitely seek out more news of that online.
Castle and Chickie Podcast Adventures at Spreaker, iHeart, New episode should drop tomorrow or Thursday. And we're covering, what are we covering this week? Oh, we did a thing on deep dive on Dan Aykroyd, who's a very underrated comedian actor from Saturday Night Live, of course. So we did a good episode on him, talked about all current events, continuing stuff.
Did you talk about his stuff outside of movies, like some of the crazy stuff that he's into?
Yeah, yeah, we talked about, he's into cryptozoology, which I'm big into, Bigfoot and UFOs and all that stuff. And Chicky revealed that she was one of the first people to buy his vodka years ago.
Oh, wow.
And she has all his collectible bottles and stuff. Chicky bought a whole bunch of them. So we got into that. So, yeah, a lot of fun with that. And then, of course, the Chronicles, which Canty, Trez will be back this Thursday. And again, we can talk to her about going to MSG to see the house show. And we'll get an unbiased opinion on how it was, the crowd, the vibe. If she enjoyed herself, if she didn't, what were the good matches, the highlights, all that stuff. We'll get into all that on this coming Thursday, 10 o'clock over on Discord. Just sign up to Don Tony Patreon. You can join us live in the chat.
Fantastic. Much love, everybody. We will see you again on Thursday. Peace.
Wrestling Soup.
Hey.
Would like to thank you.
Thank you.
For listening to tonight's show.
That's right.
But to those of you that hate us, we know who.
Yeah, we know you.
There's one thing you can do. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Go
that's
fuck
right.
yourself.
Screw you. Yeah, screw you.